We were just having a conversation before you came on about the Leafs dealing with pressure this season and knowing for really the first time entering a year that it isn't just, hey, there's pressure and people have expectation, but there's pressure and people are upset about it. And now having to carry it through 82 games, how did you manage that at times when it was quiet, not in the games, but the times in between, trying to block out that noise?
That's tough. I think that, you know, I thought a little bit about that scenario of Toronto when they lost to Montreal in the spring. And I was trying to compare it to maybe something that we went through in Edmonton. And probably the closest scenario that I could come up with was 82. We lost to the LA Kings. We lost game five at home. The expectations of our team that year was to go to at least a Stanley Cup final or even a conference final, and that didn't transpire. So consequently, I think there was a lot of stress and pressure that was put forth to management and coaches. And, you know, Glenn really handled that pressure tremendously that summer. At that point in time, there was a lot of talk that we were too offensive-minded, and maybe he needed to break up some of the core of that team and get a little bit more defensive. But Glenn was real positive, and he really believed in what he was putting on the ice was the right product. Consequently, he took the pressure and he handled it extremely well. And he deflected the pressure off of us as players. And ultimately, the next year, we did go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Although we lost four straight, we got to the finals, but we were beat by a better hockey club in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's going to happen periodically. So I think that that summer of 82 and that season 82, when we lost to the Kings, that was probably the longest year that we had to endure. And thankfully, Glenn was the guy that really took on the pressure and the workload and took all that off of his players, and we were able to just go out and compete and become the team that we became.
So for you guys as the Oilers, that was your 82 was your third time through the playoffs with the Oilers. And, you know, the kind of core five you guys had there were all 21, 22 at that point. Entering the next year, like you said, with, hey, this team is expected to make at least a Stanley Cup final. How did the five of you or the team as a whole approach the fact that, you know, at that point, maybe the regular season doesn't matter all that much? It's important to get there, of course, but you're going to be measured by something that's going to happen 4, 5, 6 months from now.
Well, I think we matured as a team, and obviously we matured as individuals, that we came to an understanding that what we would accomplish over those 80 games was going to ultimately get us ready for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And so I think as players, we took on that responsibility, and I think we really grew up quite a bit. We understood that, you know, regular season hockey was different than playoff hockey. And I think everybody embraced that. And so it is a long year because you're hoping that tomorrow could be that day you could start the playoffs, but you got to go through those 80 games. And we use that 80 games to make ourselves a better hockey club. And when we did get to the Stanley Cup Finals that year, there was a sense of, okay, you know, we accomplished quite a bit. We got a lot farther than maybe some people thought we might have at the beginning of the year. But we proved to people we can get to the dance. Now we had to go through a summer of showing people, okay, we know we can get there, but now we got to go to the next level and take on that responsibility of becoming champions. When you have good coaching, and we had great coaching with Glenn and John Muckler and Ted Green, our superstars on that team were hard workers, from Messier and Curry and Coffey and Kevin Lowe and Grant Fuhr, Lee Fogelin, Andy Moog. Just a really good core of guys who not only were good players, but were hardworking players every single day in practice. I think that year that we went and we won the Stanley Cup, I think we probably had one day off before January 1. Plus we had Christmas Day off. And then maybe one or two days off before the playoffs started. We practiced every single day. And the thing that was amazing about it, nobody ever complained. Nobody ever got upset that we had to practice. That was our responsibility, and we accepted that, and we became a better team because of it.
Talking to Wayne Gretzky, how did you manage the exhaustion of that? Because I've heard people say the NHL is so unfair in the sense of you've got to play a certain way to rack up points in the regular season, especially right now, and then a completely different way in the playoffs. And so if you're applying this mentality of every game is another test or a practice of getting ready for the postseason, I would just imagine that's just incredibly draining to have that. Every single day you're going, we need to be serious. We need to – that you're not really having those same times off. So where did you find that little bit of respite, that way to kind of relax yourself and take a little bit of that pressure off?
Geez, I don't even know. I think we're
you just
so
didn't.
Dumb.
You're like, I'm Wayne Gretzky. I didn't.
We didn't know any better. It was that was our fun, was to play hockey. And, you know, the great thing about Glenn, we didn't practice long. We practiced every day for 35 minutes, hard, a lot of skating drills, a lot of puck movement. There was no standing around in his practice. We would practice at 11 o'clock, and by 11:40, we were done. We did it every day. He would give about one day every 2 months, he'd call an optional practice. And if you were under the age of 23, you had to go on the ice. And I remember the year I think it was the year I got 92 goals. He had an optional practice, and he said, you know, you got to go on the ice. And I remember looking at him saying, gosh, I'm a little bit tired. And he said, no, I don't care. And he said, you can go for 1 second. So I got dressed, stepped on the ice, and got off. And he said, I can tell every kid that comes through here now that even Wayne Gretzky practiced in optionals. So, you know, it's just, that was what we did. It was kind of fun. We made it enjoyable. He made it enjoyable, but we worked awfully hard.
Hey, Wayne, so with your new role as a TNT studio analyst, you're going to have a really incredible opportunity to use your prestigious career to put current players into a historical perspective, which, I mean, a lot of people have questions. How would they stack up back in the day? So my question for you is how you think Austin Matthews stands up to some of the greatest goal scorers that you've played with?
Well, let me say this. First of all, I'm the first guy to stand here and tell you that the game is better today because the athletes are better today. The equipment is better today. If you look at some of the skates that Bobby Orr and Bobby Hull wore back in the 60s and 70s, my goodness, they were basically running shoes with blades underneath them. So just the equipment itself is so much better. Austin Matthews and Alex and Connor and guys like Mitch Marner and Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon. There's a lot of great players that would have excelled and done very well back in the day. The athlete today is just so tremendously strong. They're bigger now. The practice that they put in the off season, the preparation that they put in, these kids are great players. And I'm always amazed. I think they're not only great players, but my goodness, they're great for their communities. They're great for the league. I said this before. Sidney Crosby's been so special for the game and what he's done and what he's accomplished and how he's motivated young kids to play across North America. I just have nothing but good things to say about the entire game right now. It's a different game today than when I played, but that's a good thing. It's obviously a little bit more geared to sort of an offensive game. But ultimately, you got to be good defensively to become a Stanley Cup champion. And I think that Tampa Bay is living proof of that, very similar to the Oilers when we got beat 4 straight in the finals. We sort of understood and buckled down to learn what we had to do to accomplish and become champions. And that's very similar to what Tampa Bay did. They were sort of a high-flying skating team that got beat by Columbus. And they learned from that, and they rebounded, and they've come back, and they've won two championships. And, my goodness, they got to be heavily favored to win a third.
Yeah, it's what made the Leafs season last year even more disappointing is that there really was this emphasis on team defense. They went out, they addressed it. It was always difficult to tell in the North Division when they were playing those teams same way in front of no fans, the schedule, all of it. But you really did feel like they were ready to take that step. And now heading into this season, it's kind of like, well, where is that improvement supposed to come? And you can't really see it in the regular season. It'll probably be small details that they know as a group, but harder for us to tell from the outside. And I do think it's hard to compare eras with players just because of a lot of the things that you outlined in sports science, nutrition, just like we can go down, you mentioned it, equipment. There's a billion different things, but one thing has remained the same, always does. And that's vision, right? Guys with vision, guys who can see the ice. And Mitch Marner is one of those players who sees it very well. Like he reads the game very well. He sets other people up. He is a pass first player. This season, he's put a little bit of an emphasis on trying to shoot a little bit more. And you hear this from setup men from time to time. When you look at someone like that, does that make you feel uncomfortable? Do you say, wow, don't try to force it, be who you are? Or is there actually something that you would advise a player like that who is trying to make a little bit of a step forward when it comes to being a different offensive player, even though they have already been a very effective offensive player?
Right. Well, he has tremendous vision, as you said. He sees the ice as well as maybe any player in the National Hockey League, and, you know, that ultimately makes it fun to watch him play. But as you said, what it comes down to is the responsibility of getting that big goal, making that big play in game one or game seven of a Stanley Cup playoff game. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, he's human and he's feeling the pressure of it, and he understands that people are expecting him to contribute offensively and become sort of that offensive force that the Leafs are looking for. I remember I had gone in the Stanley Cup Finals. I didn't score the first four games in 83 of the finals. And then we won game one the first year we won the Stanley Cup, and we won in overtime. I think we won 1-0. Kevin McCaulin scored. And I didn't score in game two. We got beat 6-1. And now I'd gone six games in the Stanley Cup Finals without scoring a goal. And so obviously there was, you know, a lot of talk about it and a lot written about it. And it was John Mucker called me into his office before game three and said, listen, the best advice I can give you is I know you're pressing and I know you're trying to score, but we don't need you to score a lot. We just need you to get one big goal or one big play. And once you do that, it's going to take and relieve all the pressure off of you as an individual, and it's going to give such an uplift to the hockey club. And I remember going home that day and resting, getting ready for game three, thinking, just let it come to you and just kind of go out there and relax and be the player you are. So he's not in uncommon territory. We've all sort of gone through that before, but he's such a good player and such a competitor, and he's so much fun to watch. I'm sure that he's going to rebound, and, you know, I always pull for good guys to do well, so I'm pulling for him, and I hope he gets that one big goal that sort of takes all the pressure off of him, and he'll see that enormous relief not only from the fans but from his teammates, and that'll go a long way for him.
So I think I speak for a lot of us about how excited we are to have your voice, your expertise, and your presence in the broadcast world now. And I'm wondering what it was exactly that drew you to media and how excited you are to make this new step.
Well, timing's everything, right? And, you know, unfortunately, the pandemic, fortunately, we all came through it relatively unscathed. But there's a lot of people that suffered not only loss of life, but jobs and everything that goes with that. And as you guys touched on, it's really remarkable how hard these players played over the last year and a half with no fans in the building, the intensity that they showed. They all need to be commended to how great the hockey really was with no fans there. But it's going to be even better now with fans in the building. So because of that, I spent 2 years really, I couldn't go to Edmonton. I have obviously a great relationship with not only with the Oilers, but with the city. And in early April, we didn't know what was going to happen with the pandemic and the border. Unfortunately, I had to spend 21 days beside my dad with our family. And when my dad passed, that was difficult. And then our youngest daughter, 18, went off to university, and we became empty nesters for the first time. And we decided we've had a house in St. Louis, and we've been in the area for 8 or 9 years. And Janet's mother has turned 100 years old this year, and she lives in our house. And we just decided to spend maybe more time with her and be around St. Louis and be with our family a little bit more. So ultimately, I decided, you know what, the best thing for me to do is to step back from Edmonton. I didn't know if I could get up there or not. And when I did that, the timing seemed to be impeccable that TNT jumped on board with the National Hockey League. And so I met with people from TNT, and I met with, talked to Charles a few times, and how much fun that they have and how much I would like being sort of involved in hockey in that sense. So when we're not in St. Louis, we're in West Palm Beach with our grand boys, and from West Palm and St. Louis to Atlanta is only an hour flight. So I just felt like, you know what, I'm young still, 60 years old. I want to still live and be active. And this was a great opportunity to have fun with the game of hockey and be around it again and not feel the stress and the pressure of having to win or lose every night. Albeit that I wasn't in Edmonton, I still watch every game over the last couple of years, and every loss is tough and every win is wonderful, obviously. So I think timing had a lot to do with it, and an opportunity to be involved in the game of hockey. As I tell people all the time, the memories and the people and everything I have in my life is because of hockey. So it was a great opportunity for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it sounds like great timing and a great fit. You mentioned no more pressure of wins and losses, but I'm picturing you on the studio panel, and you're Wayne Gretzky. You're the greatest player of all time. And there are going to be players who hear you talking about their game. And I imagine that's going to carry immense weight for these players. Do you feel any pressure around that at all? And the, you know, kind of the weight that your opinions are going to have for these younger guys?
Well, listen, first off, this is not something new for me in a sense that I know whenever somebody asks me an opinion about a team or a player or anything to that sort of scale, that, you know, everybody's sort of waiting for what my opinion is. So this is no different. Now it's going to be more of a nationally broadcast sort of opinion. But I'll say this, very similar to what my dad taught me as a kid. You know, there's too many positives out there to be negative. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm a much more positive person than I am negative person. I don't think anybody has to worry exactly me being overly critical of anyone. That's just not who I am. And I told Turner that before I officially jumped on board, that, hey, listen, if you're looking for somebody to be controversial, if you're looking for somebody to be overly negative, I'm not that kind of a guy. I got too much respect for the players of today's game. I got too much respect for the players who've gone through and played in the NHL over the years. And most importantly, I got too much respect for the game itself. It's a hard game to play. And as I said a little earlier, my hat goes off to all these players, how hard they played during this pandemic and how hard it was to play in front of no fans. They deserve a lot of credit for that. And that's what's making this season so much more exciting, that we're getting fans for the first time in a couple of years, and that makes it all worthwhile.